Judy, tell us about your book. And you have been working on this for quite some time. I don't know if you would call it a labor of love or not. But
a labor of love and pain.
And pain. And tell us how this evolved. Why this book in the first place?
Oh, well, unfortunately, through my own personal heart experience, about 3 or 4 years ago, I all of a sudden had this horrendous neck pain. It's not clear where it came from. Might have been hunching over my laptop too much. And I could not believe the severity of the pain. Frankly, I always thought people who complained about pain were a little bit wussy, you know. But then when it happened to me, I just was dumbfounded by the intensity of it. I mean, I couldn't pick up a pen from the floor. I couldn't go from sitting on the bed to lying down without being in agony. And, you know, like many other pain patients, I ended up going to 8 different doctors, 2 physical therapists, acupuncture, massage, etc., before I finally got some help. I was on opioids and, you know, did everything. Finally, physical therapy, intensive physical therapy, I think, is what really helped quite a bit. So I had a big, strong personal interest in this, and I realized that I was not alone, even though I felt alone, and that there was a book in all this. So that's what I did.
You said that you felt like people in pain were, and I won't use your word, but you were questioning a little bit about where they were coming from, I guess. And so it was a surprise to you, and you found out a lot when you became a member, I guess, of this pain community.
Yes. I mean, it was shocking, the intensity of the pain, because I'd never, even in childbirth, had never experienced anything like that. And, you know, when you realize, as the Institute of Medicine report makes clear, that there's 100 million Americans in pain, not all at the 10-plus level that I was at, but many of them that way. And my pain lasted 8 months. For many people, it lasts for 8 months, 8 years, or longer. So my eyes were really open to the epidemiology and the severity of this whole problem.
So you found out you weren't alone, and then you were surprised that there are, as the Institute of Medicine report puts it, 100 million people in pain. The number of people in pain is just extraordinary.
It is. And as I began to get into this whole topic, I kind of formatted the book in my mind, and I talk a lot about the extent of the pain problem. I go into the neurobiology of pain and how basically scientists are beginning to realize what happens when acute pain turns into chronic pain, and how the nervous system physically changes, and your brain changes too. A lot on the genetics of pain and why some people, perhaps 50% of pain susceptibility is genetic. I never knew that before. I have a whole chapter on gender and pain. Women have a vastly disproportionate share of the pain conditions in this country. Whole chapter on pediatric pain and how undertreated kids' pain is, partly from a belief that's still not as strong as it used to be, but still there, that kids and babies don't feel pain, which is not true. They do feel pain. Huge chapter, my favorite chapter, that I call the mind-body, mind-body in pain, because there's such an overlap between emotions and pain, the limbic system in the brain, the cognitive system, the sensory system, the whole thing, all are involved with pain. I have 2 whole chapters on the opioid wars, the sort of dueling epidemics, the prescription painkiller epidemic, which grabs all the headlines, and the undertreated pain epidemic, which doesn't grab the headlines. And I have a whole chapter on the immune system, how that kicks in to rev up pain, a whole chapter on marijuana, which turns out to be a fairly decent painkiller and not nearly as dangerous as people think, a whole chapter on regular, standard, and evolving Western medicine treatments for pain, a whole other chapter on alternative remedies for pain, a big chapter on exercise, which seems to be as close to a silver bullet as we have for a lot of types of pain. And as you are talking about in your meeting here, where do we go with all this? How can we make pain treated better in this country? Because I've really come to believe that better pain management is a fundamental human right.
Dr. Richard Payne has been a guest on this program before from Duke University, and he talks a lot about the moral obligation of physicians to treat pain. And that it's somewhat shocking that the reason to be a physician in the first place is to treat pain. because that's the most common condition that people have. They come in complaining about pain.
That's right.
So were you a little bit surprised or shocked, might be a better word, that it wasn't something like buying an over-the-counter medication, and it wasn't as simple as coming in, getting a diagnosis, and getting a treatment, that wasn't as easy whenever it came to pain?
Well, yeah, I'm sort of stunned by the mismatch, by the fact that pain is the main reason people go to doctors, and yet pain research is vastly underfunded by the federal government, and medical schools don't teach about pain. They barely teach about it. So there's this colossal mismatch between what people in pain need and what the system writ large provides.
You talk about the opioid wars, and that gets into some of the policy field and how policy affects what kinds of pain relief that people like you can get.
Yeah, it's huge, and basically it's a mess. We really don't seem to have a coherent policy at the federal level for how to make sure pain patients get what they need in many forms of treatment, psychological treatment, physical therapy, and specifically opioids. And certainly not all pain patients, chronic pain we're talking about, not all chronic pain patients need opioids, but many do, and doctors don't know how to prescribe them. They don't know how to help people taper off them. And the general federal philosophy seems to be all opioids are bad, and doctors shouldn't prescribe them. I mean, in a simplistic way. So doctors are afraid to prescribe them, and patients are afraid to take them, and yet they could help a lot of people.
Institute of Medicine came out with a report on pain at the end of June 2011. You attended, I believe, the unveiling of that.
I did.
And do you feel any encouragement from the fact that with the credibility of the Institute of Medicine, that they came out with a report and some recommendations to address some of the issues that you're talking about?
That's a tough one. The short answer is no. I don't feel a lot of encouragement because most people, lay people, barely know what the Institute of Medicine is. It didn't get the kind of press that I thought it was going to get that press conference. It got lost in the shuffle, as does pain. I hope that's something my book can help remedy, but I don't think it's on people's radar screens the way it ought to be.
Now, you're attending over the last couple of days or in mid-September an event for a Pain Action Alliance to institute a national strategy, and you find some people coming together and some organizations coming together to address that. Is that, in your mind, a way of moving forward, that organizations who have made pain their mission are coming together to try to address these issues as a single entity?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I've never actually watched this kind of process up close before. I as a journalist, I see the end results. I haven't seen the sausage making part of the whole thing.
That's the phrase that was going through my mind. Exactly.
It is. What strikes me, though, really is that for pain to really get on the national agenda, it's got to be more of a bottom-up thing. Patients are going to have to take to the streets, like as they have for breast cancer, for disability rights, for HIV, that all these well-meaning policy wonks, for lack of a better term, are totally on the right track. But to get real movement, it's going to have to be pain patients who already have more than enough to do coping with their pain and trying to live their lives.
With your book that's coming out
in about a year.
And
from
Oxford
University Press.
So that'll be sometime in 2013.
Yes.
You have a message of hope.
Yes, and that message is kind of what I was just saying, that first of all, if you're going to a doctor because of pain and the doctor doesn't understand your pain or is not sympathetic or tells you it's all in your head, find another doctor. It may take you 8 or 10 doctors, as it took me, but they do exist, and a lot of the big hospitals do have a lot of pain management specialists, so don't give up is a major point. And also, if possible, pain patients, chronic pain patients, should band together, because there's a stigma to pain, there's an isolation to pain, there's a hiddenness to pain, and I think if pain patients can come out in the open with it, they will have a collective voice that right now is not there.